Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show. I'm Mike Lynch, along with Scarlett Fu. And today, we're joined by Victor Williams. He's the Chief Executive Officer of NBA Africa.
Well, Victor, welcome to the show. I'm going to overlook the fact that you were a Lakers fan growing up because I'm talking to you from Boston up here. So we don't want to get off on a bad start here in this. But tell us all about the Basketball Africa League for the uninitiated who may have just been hearing about this league for the first time.
Mike and Scarlett, great to be on, and thanks for having me. So the Basketball Africa League is it's really the first time the NBA has done a professional league outside of North America. And we started it to really create a full pathway for Africans who love the game and want to play it at the highest professional level, to be able to go from learning the game at a grassroots level to playing it at a professional level on the continent and without having to go elsewhere. So the way we've structured it is that it is a league of African champions, and African champions of domestic leagues from 12 different countries qualify to play in the Basketball Africa League. And we just announced last week that in 2022, we'll play our season over 3 months in three different locations. So we'll play the first round of the season in Dakar, Senegal in March. We'll play the second round in Cairo, Egypt in April. And we'll play the finals in Kigali, Rwanda in May. This will be the second season of the Basketball Africa League. We played the first season in a bubble in Kigali, Rwanda in May of this year.
So this is very exciting. Obviously, a lot to look forward to here. In explaining the structure of NBA Africa, I wonder how much it is similar to or different from NBA China, which is now a $5 billion business. I know Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, has said that the current enterprise value of NBA Africa is almost $1 billion. So obviously this is a smaller, younger, newer entity. But if you could compare and contrast NBA Africa to NBA China, I'd love to hear the parallels.
So our business in China obviously is, it's done very well over the years. And when the NBA looked at the potential for adding to our growth internationally, Africa made a lot of sense. For a number of reasons. One, we know there's a lot of basketball interest and passion on the continent. We see that in how well basketball ranks in interest across various countries. We also see that in the number of African players and players of African heritage who are currently in the league. It's a young, growing population that is increasingly adopting technology. And so we believe that by investing in our activities in the continent, we can grow them over time to be, a meaningful part of our business. In many ways, the activities that we'll be pursuing in Africa and that we're already pursuing, span the same breadth as what we do in China, as in we'll be investing in growing the game at the grassroots level, we'll be investing in fan engagement, increased marketing and brand building. We'll be broadening our television distribution across the continent. We'll be looking to extend the NBA brand through merchandising and licensing, as well as other areas that we believe have potential for growth. I think the one thing that we're going to do in Africa and that we are doing in Africa that we haven't done in China is to actually create a league on the continent. And so that is one aspect that makes our business in Africa distinct or different from what we've historically done in China.
So, Victor, it sounds like your previous life as a banker has properly prepared you for this new role. Is that an accurate statement?
It definitely helps. You know, as a banker, and I've been a basketball fan for a very long time, but as a banker, you spend a lot of time working with your clients on developing strategies and thinking about ways to execute that strategy, assessing how to, you know, what the impact of the strategy is going to have on their business from a financial perspective. You're building relationships. You're putting teams together and leading teams. And you're generally helping clients grow their businesses and their brands. Part of my career as a banker was working in Africa and leading businesses across the continent as an executive of a banking business. And so I became quite familiar with working across many countries on the continent, building businesses, entering new markets. And all of those skills and those experiences have really stood me in good stead in what we're doing in NBA Africa so far.
Yeah, I'm sure you've had to tap your Rolodex or your digital Rolodex, really, when it comes to broadcast plans and making sure that you've got distribution deals for the league. Can you talk a little bit about whether TV and radio are still the standard here, or are you looking for a more digital online presence to drive NBA Africa and the Basketball Africa League?
Yeah, great question. So we find that really television is really important still in these markets. So today we have our games carried on more than 50 countries on the continent through partners such as ESPN that are present on pay TV channels on the continent. What we are looking to do and working really hard to do is to broaden our distribution on free-to-air channels as well, because those reach millions more Africans. And as we want to grow the popularity of the game, make NBA basketball one of the top sports lifestyle brands on the continent, it's important that people be able to access our game, you know, really without paying for it, simply by switching on their television. Digital is key to the growth of, you know, media and content businesses going forward. And as a league, we're looking to enhance our digital distribution, and Africa is no exception. And so we are, you know, part of our goals are to build a meaningful direct-to-consumer digital distribution business. And in Africa, most people are using smartphones. And so getting our game onto the smartphones across the African continent is, we think, a huge opportunity, and we'll be working hard on that.
Victor, where do the players come from? 12 teams, I'm going to assume roughly 144 players in the league. Are they all from the continent?
So we have about, well, the I would say about 80%, 70 to 80% of the players in our first season came from Africa, and of rather from domestic from the domestic teams, and then the rest came from other African countries, and some came from overseas. So if I were to, let me be a little bit more specific. We want to grow the game domestically on the continent. And so when we, what we've agreed with these teams is that of a, call it a 12-person roster, 8 of those players will come from the country that the team is based in. Mm-hmm. 2 of the players can come from other African countries, and 2 players can come from outside of Africa. So by doing that, we end up with a good blend of domestic players who are getting opportunities that they haven't had to compete at a higher level. We're giving African professionals the opportunity to, you know, strengthen teams from across the continent. And then we bring in, we give the teams the opportunity to bring in some foreign players who help increase the level of the league and, you know, sometimes drive a lot of fan attention as well.
Yeah.
So it's a nice blend, and we're looking forward to continuing that in future seasons.
Well, speaking of driving fan attention, there's nothing that drives fan attention like former NBA players. That star wattage from names like Grant Hill, Dikembe Mutombo, and Luol Deng, who are all investors in this venture. Can you talk a little bit about their role? Are they passive investors? Are they active? Are they involved operationally? Do they offer advice?
Yeah, so, you know, the work that the NBA has done in Africa over the last, you know, 10 years now has always been actively supported by our players and especially some of our former players who have ties to the continent or are just really passionate about what we're doing on the continent. So when we decided to bring on external investors to help us accelerate our growth plans on the continent, it was really important that we go to those players and give them an opportunity to join us. So they play, they play an advisory role. So we meet with them periodically to give them an update on our plans. And some of them attended the BAL season. And as we go forward, I'm sure we'll find ways as we identify the particular areas of interest of each of them, will find ways to get them more involved. So they're definitely great advisors and supporters of what we're doing on the continent.
Hmm. Vic, take a peek around the corner 3 to 5 years from now. Where do you see the Basketball Africa League?
So our goal would be in 3 to 5 years, the Basketball Africa League should be one of the top leagues globally. The NBA will be at the pinnacle, but we would hope that certainly for African professional players, they'll be able to still aspire to be in the BAL. They'll be able to, have meaningful careers playing in the BAL that will attract some talent from around the world that also wants to be in the BAL. And that the club ecosystem on the continent will be stronger as well. So ideally, we want to see the clubs become more professionally owned and professionally managed. We want to see them really build out the capability to grow their own talent through academies and to run programs to strengthen the grassroots. The aim for us is to have a strong, viable, and functioning ecosystem of basketball on the continent. And we want the BAL to be a very attractive commercial property that attracts sponsors and is viewed globally.
Is there a role here for NBA Africa to play more of a diplomatic role as well? Because I was reading that President Obama, former President Obama, as well, is an investor in the NBA Africa venture.
Yes, he is. So we're very pleased to have President Obama join us as a strategic partner. And, you know, he's, I think everyone knows, very passionate about the game and, has his own personal ties to the continent and is very focused on youth. And so he was quite keen to be part of what we're doing in Africa, and we're very pleased to have him on board. And I think, you know, we continue to discuss with him and his team some of the ways in which he's going to be supportive of what we're doing. And I think he'll get involved as makes sense for him, but really amplifying our efforts and lending his own particular influence to help accelerate what we're doing on the continent.
Victor, is it realistic to assume that some players may emerge from this league and make it to the NBA, or is going to the States and going to a university a more direct route to the NBA?
Good question.
It's a great question. And, you know, what we wanted to do here was to create another pathway that gives players on the continent another avenue to aspire to in terms of where they can take their basketball career. So there will always be players, including some of the ones that we are today developing in our NBA Academy in Senegal, whose the best path for them may be to go on to U.S. universities and potentially, you know, go to the NBA that way. There may be some players who go to Team Ignite and then go on to the NBA. But we would hope that for the, you know, probably the large majority of players who are passionate about the game on the continent and want to play it at an elite level, the Basketball Africa League is going to be that place where they spend the bulk of their careers.
Final question for you, Victor. The new variant of COVID, Omicron, spreading quickly in Southern Africa, in South Africa, where you are right now. What has it done in terms of affect your plans for 2022 at the moment?
So, you know, we're literally thinking about this daily, and we're monitoring the situation of Omicron as it plays out, you know, across the continent, as you say. Our goal for 2022 would be to play the tournament without a bubble, which we did very, we had a very successful bubble in May, no player tested positive, which was fantastic. We'd love to play without a bubble, but we're going to do what makes sense from a health and safety protocol for our teams, the officials, and our fans. And so we'll continue to monitor the situation and develop the health and safety protocols that make sense at that time. We know it's very fluid, so I can't sit here today and say what it's going to be 3 months from now.
Does it involve vaccine mandates?
Yeah, so we certainly, our goal would be for all the players who participate in, and not just the players, but also the team delegations that participate in the BAL to be fully vaccinated by the time they come to the tournament. And we're in the process of communicating that to the team.
Victor, thanks so much for joining us. That was Victor Williams, NBA Africa CEO. And this is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Mike Lynch, along with Scarlett Fu. And you can catch us here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, exploring the world of money and sports. And be sure to catch us on Twitter. You can find me at LynchyWCVB.
And you can find me on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business of Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/FutureInvestor/radio.